If you got the money, honey, I've got the time. We'll go honky-tonkin' and we'll have a time. We'll have more fun, baby, all the way down the line.
It's time for Inside Churchill Downs. Now, here are your hosts, John Asher, Darren Rogers, and Kevin Kirstein.
Well, we have two-thirds of that team intact here a week after the close of the Churchill Downs Spring Meet. I'm John Asher. I'm here. Kevin Kirstein is across the way. He's here.
Where should we say Darren is at tonight?
I'm saying at the moment, unless there was a ball game, unless his son had a ball game, I'm saying somewhere at the pool.
I would just say he's on assignment. He's on assignment, maybe with a Bud Light in hand.
Yeah, take a little much-needed R&R on the week after the spring meet concludes. Welcome to Inside Churchill Downs on ESPN 680 105.7. Again, I'm John Asher along with Kevin Kirstein. Two-thirds of the team here tonight as we'll reflect a little bit on the meet concluded. It wrapped up in style last Saturday. And, of course, we'll look ahead. Busy summer coming up. Now the official summer of racing is underway. And, of course, we're pointing toward the Breeders' Cup, which is in the neighborhood of 70. The spring meet's in the neighborhood of 70 days away. And we're not too much further out for the Breeders' Cup. So it'll be a busy summer, busy weekend of good races around the country, some of which could have Breeders' Cup impact, including one, that is the Breeders' Cup Win in Your End event at Belmont Park, and we'll be talking with the trainer of one of the participants in that race just a little bit later on. Let's run down the list of guests here tonight. The first person we're going to hear from is a person we've heard from before on the show, but he just continues to have career year after career year, and that is owner-breeder Ken Ramsey of Ramsey Farm. Excuse me, my voice is a little off this evening. Ken Ramsey will be joining us a little later on as he is celebrating his 31st leading owner title.
It's unbelievable.
It's an amazing number, and now it's a runaway this time. He more than lapped him this time. 9 wins for he and wife Sarah, and a lot of things going on. Kenny's actually at home in Nicholasville this evening after traveling internationally over the last couple of weeks.
Where isn't Ken Ramsey going
keeping up with where in the world Ken Ramsey is a remarkable thing. But Ken's going to join us on the first segment of the show. And we're also going to hear from a regular here. He actually was our first unofficial entrant into the Inside Churchill Downs Hall of Fame, and that's Ben Colebrook, the trainer of Limousine Liberal, who will be running tomorrow at Belmont Park in a Breeders' Cup Win in Your End event, the Belmont Spring Sprint Championship, as he'll be running Limousine Liberal in there, who was the first horse inducted into our unofficial Inside Churchill Downs Hall of Fame. He's been the gift that keeps on giving.
He certainly has been here
for this show and our listeners. And we'll talk to Ben, as Limousine Liberal is the morning line favorite for the Belmont Sprint Championship tomorrow at Belmont Park on their Stars and Stripes Celebration Day. But big stakes races everywhere, big schedule at Belmont Park, big schedule tomorrow at Arlington Park in the Churchill Downs family. Also, some solid prep races everywhere up at Delaware Park. They're running the Delaware Oaks up there. So a lot of good racing here in the summer as we're kind of taking the deep breath for us, of course, here at the meet. But I think everybody in racing, Triple Crown's over with. We're now focusing on the last half of the year in the Breeders' Cup World Championships, which, incidentally, will be held here at Churchill Downs.
What I'm more interested in is tonight at Prairie Meadows. They have their festival of racing up there. So, you know, the True Degenerates will come out. Just talking to Mark Blankenbaker, who finished up their show on 93.9 just a couple of seconds ago. And he said, I sort of took out the money on the Twin Spires account, and I'm going to give it a rest until the September meet starts at Churchill. I said, Mark, you know, you can't do this. Prairie Meadows tonight. A lot of Churchill Downs connections up there.
As it were, last night, we had three stakes run at Prairie Meadows last night. All three won by Churchill Downs connections. Two of them won by the team of trainer Steve Asmussen, who was the leading trainer of the spring meet at Churchill, and jockey Ricardo Santana Jr. They won the Iowa Oaks with She's a Julie, and won the Iowa Distaff with Dream Call. And then just to keep the Churchill Downs theme going, Brad Cox won the Southerville Stakes with Golden Mischief. So the three stakes races all were captured by the top two finishers in the spring meet trainers race at Churchill Downs.
Yeah, shocker. Brad Cox and Steve Asmussen win a couple of stakes races. You don't really see that too often,
no,
do you?
Not
at all. But tonight's fun card there if you want to get underway. The All Stakes Pick 4 gets underway right at 8:51 p.m. Eastern tonight. 15% takeout. I will certainly be diving into that card. Going to key on Mr. Freeze in the Iowa Derby up there for Dale Romans. 5-1 on the morning line. If I could lock in 5-1 right now, I would go right across the street to the PNC Bank, take out all the money in my checking account, and bet with both hands. But I think this horse will probably be more in the range of 2-1.
I think he probably will. 2-for-2 lifetime is Mr. Freeze and a rising star in the Dale Romans world. Of course, he had a King Zachary who won the Matt Wynn Stakes toward the end of the spring meet at Churchill Downs, and he's a rising star on the 3-year-old scene. So, we started out the year with the Dale Romans trainees, starting out with his group of Derby contenders. When you had Free Drop Billy, you had Promises Fulfilled. Of course, both those horses ran in the Kentucky Derby. And you had Tiz Mischief, and now we'll see those horses as time goes on. But a couple of new faces and King Zachary and Mr. Freeze.
Yeah, that's what makes his 3-year-old picture so interesting this year, obviously, with Justify on top with, all of the accolades that he's done winning the Triple Crown. But you have these up-and-coming, blossoming 3-year-olds that, Dale arguably has said that Mr. Freeze is probably the best horse that he has in his barn, period, 3-year-old or not. And So you have this horse and King Zachary, so a couple of horses that we'll see over the summer at Saratoga, probably, and, of course, with the Haskell coming up in late July, too, at Monmouth Park. So it'll be very exciting rest of the summer for the 3-year-old picture. And again, it's sort of like one of those weekends here. It's the 2 weeks before Saratoga, and we ended last week, and then you have these 2 weeks that are sort of sandwiched in between Saratoga and Del Mar, and sort of what do you do? And great cards at Arlington. So it's sort of, as horse players, you have to look at some of those tracks maybe you don't focus on all the time. And that's what makes the handicapping so difficult. But when you pay attention to a certain circuit, like here at Churchill for us locally, and see a lot of these connections and horses shipping out to these different tracks, maybe give you an advantage at your handicapping.
What did you say about Dale Romans and Mr. Freeze? His estimation, Mr. Freeze, was?
Best horse in his barn.
Okay. You're not helping your price any whatsoever.
I'm not. So but we'll...
You're giving them wagering information down to the second as to when.
I'd rather give out winners on this show than losers. So
I understand.
I'll tell you what.
I understand. And Kevin mentioned Arlington tomorrow, our sister track at Arlington Park. 5 stakes races on the card there tomorrow as they point to Arlington Million Day. So much going on at racetracks around our great country as we relax just a little bit as best we can relax here at Churchill Downs. So going to bring in our first guest of the evening. Again, I mentioned a couple of guests. Ben Colebrook will be coming up later, and we had planned to have Dale Romans on, but Dale's not going to be able to make it. So we will either give you our wisdom or come up with another guest. But the main man here tonight we want to talk to is with us this evening, and that is a man who years ago made a decision to chase a Churchill Downs leading owner title for the first time. I believe the year was around 2000 or so, And he got that one, and he just kept winning and winning and winning. And this year he earned his 30. He and wife Sarah earned their 31st leading owner title at Churchill Downs. And that gentleman is, he needs no introduction here at Churchill Downs, but that is Ken Ramsey, owner breeder, Eclipse Award winning owner breeder, and the all-time leading owner, he and his wife, by a large margin here at Churchill Downs, and with 31 trophies and either another trophy case coming, or you're just sitting around holding doors open. I don't know what you're doing with them. But Ken Ramsey's with us on the phone. Ken, thanks for being with us, my friend.
Glad to be on, John. Glad to be on.
What do you do with all those leading troners? I mean, you're winning a lot of races, period. But all these Churchill Downs leading owner titles, have you got a special place for them? Or are they just various spots around the houses? Do you have a big trophy room there in the farm in Nicholasville?
I do have a big trophy room. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4. I've got 6 trophy cases here at the house. I've got several down at the office, and I've got a small one down at my winter home at Sunny Isles Beach, Florida. And I got a few up at Saratoga at the house up there.
It's a good
spot to
be.
My backyard heaven, as I call it.
There you go. Exactly. And we'll get to that part of the discussion a little bit later. But another fabulous meet. You more than lapped your nearest competitor, had 9 wins here, and had a terrific win. The meet highlighted by, speaking of backyard heaven, your winner of the Ali Sheba. Before we get as we get started, let's get rolling about him, because he was – stamped himself as a a serious contender for the big races later in the year for older horses, most particularly looking down the road to the Breeders' Cup Classic when he won the Alice Sheba on Kentucky Derby weekend, then came back in the Stephen Foster and did not run well. So the first question is, did he come out of the race okay? And do you have an idea what might have happened in the Stephen Foster with Backyard Heaven?
Well, talked to Chad, and the horse ran perfectly the first part of the race. We wanted him to run fourth on the backstretch, and Irad had him fourth and moved up to third and second, and then took the lead to head the stretch, and then just absolutely faded completely, had nothing. So I didn't know if the horse bled or what. Cleaned up his feed tub that evening. No problems whatsoever with him. He's worked well since. Chad said just draw a line through that, and he thought it was a temperature of 91 degrees that night. The heat and humidity got to him. There's a couple more horses that ran poorly that night, big horses too, Bob Baffert's horse. Axeman, he went off odds-on favorite, and he ran up the track, and so did Mark Cassie's horse, World Appeal. So just we just figured there's a heat, and we got him back on what we call the gun runner schedule.
All right. So that means next start Saratoga.
That means next start Saratoga and the Whitney, and then the Woodward, and, of course, the Breeders' Cup Classic, which will be held on my 83rd birthday, November the 3rd. So that would be a real good birthday present. He's already knocked off one Kentucky Derby winner, always dreaming, so it'd be a real challenge to take on a Triple Crown winner, and who knows what could happen. It's a good four-year-old against, I guess one of the best three-year-olds in a long, long, long time.
I think any journalists out there who are listening are probably making a note for a lead just in case. Not that you won't remind them it's your birthday if you should win that race on the Breeders' Cup Classic on your birthday, but that'd be a wonderful, wonderful start. To Backyard Heaven, he was a horse you had early hopes for the Kentucky Derby, which is one trophy that's missing from that massive trophy room that you have. You still have hopes of slipping one in there sometime, but he looked like one, but things just did not work out in getting him to the three-year-old classic. So can you talk a bit about what happened there and what has happened, on the other hand, great for him this year?
Well, I think I've got him in probably as good a hands as you can possibly get him in. Chad Brown, who was assistant trainer for Bobby Frankel, and Bobby Frankel trained for me for several years. So I got to know Chad when he was actually walking hots and mucking out stalls and worked his way up to assistant with Bobby Frankel. So he's very loyal. Matter of fact, Chad Brown won his very first race for me in a claiming race over at Churchill Downs. I believe the horse was named Dual Wheels. But anyway, he won his first race over there. So Chad told me this was one of the better horses he had as a three-year-old. He said, I think I got a Derby contender for you this year. And, of course, all the good horses he's got, and he works them against each other, he pretty well knows what he's got. You don't want to claim one off of Chad, and he drops one down. It's pretty close to the end of the road. So, anyway, the horse got a little niggling trouble, this, that, or the other. And, anyway, so he said, we'll save him for the Belmont. He'll be fresh, and I think we'll get the job done. About 2 weeks before the Belmont, he come down with a sinus infection, of all things. So had to give him antibiotics and treat him for that. And in this year then, he was going to take him to Gulfstream. Chad said, why don't we leave him up at Aqueduct for the winter? Won't have to change climates. He's doing super. So he won his first couple races up there and, of course, went on and won the Alice Sheba. And Chad's really high on him. So I saw Frank Stronach and his right-hand man, Dermot McCarty, up at Queensblade over the weekend, and I negotiated don't have it nailed down, but I've got a slot assured me for the Pegasus Stakes in January, should he go that far and continue on like we hope he does.
Good to know you're still looking down the road, Ken. It's a wonderful
thing. We're
optimistic,
hopefully, on this horse. This could be the best horse I've ever had, and I've had a couple good ones, you know, Roses in May and Kitten's Joy. So this one could potentially earn more money than either of them did with the humongous purses they've got now in the Pegasus Stakes.
What makes you think he's the best one? He may be. He's potentially the best you've had. What is it about him that...
Oh, yeah, he's potentially. In other words, he's not yet. No. No, he's not on anybody's radar screen as one of the top five now. He was talked about, and he would have been had he won the Stephen Foster, but he stumped his toes, so he's got to go out and prove himself all over again.
Ken, I want to talk about, you mentioned two of those big horses, and Roses in May and Kitten's Joy, and, you know, there's a story that comes with Kitten's Joy and his dam, Kitten's First, and I would love to hear that story, because I know his dam was very special to both you and your wife, Sarah, and obviously producing this foal and Kitten's Joy. Talk a little bit about the coming of Kitten's Joy with his dam.
Well, Billy Mott had Kitten's first. Billy Mott was one of our first trainers. I've been with him a long, long time. And he called me when Kitten's first was going to make her first start and said, Ken, you need to make a little bet on this horse that I think the filly is going to be really nice one. Said, I've worked her out, get some good horses, and she's right there. Well, to my surprise, he entered the horse against the colts. And I'm a pretty decent handicapper myself, so I took a look at it, and there was one colt in there that already made two starts and had come back and worked a bullet. My filly had never started, and here he is running against the boys, and she had a workout 3 seconds slower than the colt worked out. So I talked to Billy about it, and he said, you want to come up? And I said, well, no, I'm not coming up. I don't like the fact you got her in against the boys. So I did not bet on her. Needless to say, she beat the boys. And so Kylie taught me a lesson, and Billy said to me, he said, you don't go on the workouts when you're betting on my horses, Ken. Don't work them that fast in the morning. In other words, I put the foundation under them and run them in the afternoon. Anyway, so the next time we ran her, she ran that Monmouth Park in the Champions, Junior Champion Stakes, a two-year-old race, and went off odds on and hit the side of the gate coming out and broke her hip. So anyway, the story on her from that, we went over to the stable to see how she was making out, found out the hip was broke, and the veterinarian was over there, and he said, I'm glad you arrived in time, said we were going to have to put the filly down, said she's broke her hip. I said, well, I don't see any bone or anything sticking out, and he said, well, I'm telling you, she broke her hip, we have to put her down. So I said, let's try to get her on her feet. You know, the little at the end of the, in the barns or in the stalls, they have like a tube of six, so keep your horses in from going in and out. So I said, let's get one of them tube of six and let's hit some of these guys see if we can get her on her feet. The veterinarian just rolled his eyes. But anyway, there's several of them there, and he got her on her feet. And she was thrashing about, and I got over there and sweating heavily. It looked pretty bad. But once we got her on her feet, she trembled a little bit, and I pushed her up against the wall, and she stood there. And I said, get her a flake of hay and see if she'll eat a little bit. So we got her a flake of hay. She started eating, and I fell to the hip, and two or three more guys did, and we said, well, why don't we wait till in the morning? At that time, Billy Mott's assistant, Billy Mott, was there. So anyway, he said, I'll stay here and watch her tonight. So I stayed there and watched her, and next morning she was still doing well. So long story short, we didn't put her down. Kept her up there about 6 weeks, brought her back to farm, and she had problems. She lost a couple. Well, I think the first one she lost because the birth canal was obstructed. But then we ended up getting a breeder to a smaller stallion, and long story short, we got about three out of her, and she was a wonderful broodmare. So that's our foundation broodmare, and of course, Catherine owned her. That's why she named her Kittens First, my pet name for her when we was dating. Her name was Sarah Catherine. Everybody in the family calls her Catherine, so she wanted to name it Kitten's Joy. And I said, Catherine, that's a too feminine name for, could be a stallion prospect because he's a good-looking foal. We loved him here on the farm. Mark Partridge, my farm manager, liked him very, very beginning. He outgrew the rest of them. And anyway, so we named it Kitten's Joy, and I guess the rest is history.
Certainly a special horse there, Ken. I'll tell you what, that's sort of unbelievable. And you've recently downsized because, the name Kitten has been so familiar with any horse racing fan all over the world of seeing your Kitten's Joy foals up in the programs. Talk a little bit about the downsizing last year. I know you had a lot of horses, and is that still something you're doing? Or are you going to probably put your hand back into the claiming game sometime in the near future, still trying to downsize?
Well, let me tell you why I use the brand of Kitten on there, because Governor Jones and I was in a partnership on a couple of stallions. And he told me that he always tried to get them started off, but the ones he kept himself was the best ones a lot of times, and he always put the name of the stallion in there if he could work it in. So when the offspring started winning, they'd associate that to the stallion and probably get a little extra, few extra mares to him. So I got to give Governor Jones credit for coming up with that. But the Kitten brand has worked out real well. No, I still enjoy the game as much as I ever did. Matter of fact, I claimed a horse while I was up at the Queen's Plate this past weekend. And still betting with both hands. Right now I'm alive in the first half of the pick six they got going on at Belmont today. I got the first three in, and think I got a pretty good shot of hitting it. I usually play anytime is over $100,000 in the pot, so between $600,000 and $700,000 in today. I am downsizing. It's got to be too much work. I like to keep my hand in the game. I'm pretty good at spotting them where they should go, and if I've got a hand in there spotting them where they go, it seems like they do a little better. Now, I'm running three up at Arlington Park tomorrow. I don't really like any of the three of them where they're spotted, and I'm not going myself. My son Jeff and my grandson's going up. But anyway, these are prep races for the Arlington Million race. But I wouldn't be surprised if we don't win at least one of them tomorrow. We try to win at least 20% of our starts, and we're pretty successful at doing that.
Kenny, you talked about the role of your wife in all of this, and you just mentioned your son. Talk about what a family operation this has become for you.
Well, I guess if anything, it'd be trying to leave a little legacy here. My grandson Nolan, he's assistant to Mike Maker, and he wanted to get out on his own. He just got married this spring. Married, trying to keep everything in the horse business, I guess. He married Katie Clausen, who was the apprentice runner-up this year for the Eclipse Award for apprentice jockey. So they're up at Woodbine. They wanted to stay together. So Mike and I talked things over, and Mike decided he wanted to send the string up there. And no one wanted to go someplace where they could be together. So I sent up 21 horses. We got our own van, so I sent up three loads. And out of the first 13 that Nolan ran in my name and Catherine's name, he won 5 out of 13. So that's a little better than 38%, not too shabby. So he's learned the tricks of the trade from Mike. And then I have another grand, and unfortunately, not unfortunately, but that's what he wanted to do. He'll be the only one of my six grandchildren that don't graduate from college. I'm a big believer in education. My wife graduated, and I graduated. Anyway, all the rest of them is going to graduate except Nolan. He dropped out of the University of Louisville. His first year, he was on the equine program up there, but he ended up spending more time over Turfway Park working with Mike Maker on the horses than he did going to class. And he said he knew more about horses than the teacher was teaching him, so he didn't see any reason why he should continue going. So I was trying to tell him, if you're going to be a trainer, you got to deal with these big millionaire owners, the hedge fund boys and all that on Wall Street. So you need to be able to talk the talk and walk the walk a little bit with them. So anyway, all my persuasiveness went to naught. He's now an assistant trainer. But I have another grandson. He's be a junior over at Butler this year, and he's very interested in horses also. Matter of fact, his name is William Kenneth. He's going to Arlington Park tomorrow. So he's not hands-on like Nolan is. I mean, Nolan is a trainer, so he's down there doing the bandages and saddling them up and doing the whole bit. William's sort of like me. He's an armchair jockey. He sits back and tries to pick out the races to put them in or where they should go and does the pedigree work and all that. So between the two of them, look like I'm leaving a little legacy for the family, and I've tried to name some of them after the kids. I guess the most famous one is Stephanie's kitten, who still to this day has won more money, biggest money earner ever on the turf for a filly, or a mare. So anyway, I've got the six grandkids. We've named them all after each one of them. Started back even when I had Catianus. I named one Nolan's Cat, and he ran third in the Belmont Stakes as a maiden. So we try to keep the family involved. That's what it's all about, and it's a great game for creating memories. And we've been all over the country, and just had part of the family over to Royal Ascot and part of them up to the Queen's Plate. And no one went down with me and went to when we won the Barbados Gold Cup this past year. So creates a lot of memories for the family. So we enjoy it.
And the past two weekends, I've talked to you via phone. And the first weekend, I just wasn't thinking. I called you, and you answered the phone, and you were walking out of Royal Ascot, which I did not intend to bother you at Royal Ascot. But it should have hit me that you would be there. And then the next week, I talked to you, and you were getting ready to head to the Queen's Plate. So you were traveling. This weekend, you're taking it easy. But horse racing has taken you into lots of places. And you've competed and won internationally with wonderful racehorses. And I first knew of you years ago when you would bet a nickel or two as you mentioned earlier. You still do, but you've been involved in this ownership for a long time. You're the all-time leading owner at Churchill Downs, along with all those individual owners' titles, the 31. you're far and away the front runner in terms of total wins here. But and you and I were chatting a little bit earlier today. You'd love to know, have some kind of idea how many wins you got as an owner, period, over all those years. But there's one figure you do know that you have, and that is your record as a trainer. I want you to tell me that story about Ken Ramsey, horse trainer.
Well, I started out with a guy named Cadillac Jack Sowards. I'm from Artemis, Kentucky, and my aunt took me to Churchill Downs when I was 5 years old on a shopping trip. I cried to go. So anyway, for some reason or other, I always loved the horses, and I listened to Kentucky Derby on the radio back when I was growing up. So anyway, I made a little money in real estate, so I decided to claim myself a horse. And I didn't know of anybody except Cadillac Jack, because his wife's sister lived in Artemis and had a couple, three boys, and I was good friends with them. So there's all time talking about Cadillac Jack having all these horses. So anyway, I called him up, said, yeah, come on out. So anyway, he started me out right. I mucked stalls and walked tots and carried water and all that kind of stuff to the horses out on Paris Pike at the training center. And I decided I'd get my trainer's license just so I could know, you know, what you had to do. So I practiced, you know, putting the saddle on and tacking them up, and Jack showed me how to wrap the legs up and do all of it. So anyway, I passed my trainer's license, no problem. And I went through all that stuff in front of the stewards at the time and passed the test. And so I had my first starter horse called Party Hours up at River Downs. I remember me and my best friend, R.H. Perkins, went up there, and he paid one easily, paid 50, I believe about 50-some dollars. They called me the honey trainer for a while. They called me the hunter trainer because on the way over to the paddock, I'd forgot my foot pick. And anyway, I picked up a paddle and picked his feet. I thought Perk had a foot pick, didn't have one. But anyway, the horse had a throat problem. So we had had surgery done on his throat. I guess it was the beginning of the tieback deal. Anyway, we had something done on his throat. They said he couldn't get his air good. So anyway, I had that done, and they said we'd been treating him with honey. Said honey would keep you know, his throat moist and all that. So before we left, we put a spoonful of honey down his throat. And it was in the summertime. The flies were, as we walked him over there to the paddock, the flies were swarming around him because that honey was all over his lips. But anyway, one paid 50-some dollars. I got a picture hanging out in my office now. So I was a successful trainer. I didn't stay training too long. Had to get up too early for that. So, but anyway, I did have my trainer's license one time, and I learned a whole lot about, you know, how to handicap horses based on what you learn about, you know, having to read the racing form and spot them and condition books and all that. So if you're going to be in a business, you need to learn, get a little background. So that's what I've taught my grandsons. They can read a condition book and do the same thing.
You're a fan of horse racing. You know, you're listening to the voice of Ken Ramsey, the leading owner at the just-completed Churchill Downs meet. Of course, an Eclipse Award-winning owner and breeder here in our game. This is Inside Churchill Downs on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Ken, I don't know, when it always comes up in our conversation, but I remember years ago when we were at a function over here, there was a replica Kentucky Derby trophy being presented to the family of the woman who owned Black Gold, Kentucky Derby winner from many years earlier, and they had lost the trophy over the years and came up with a replica trophy. And I remember that night, and I think I was MC of the event, and you were there being honored, and I told you, Kenny, go take a look at it. I know you're going to get one, but that's what they look like. And I still feel like there's one in your future, one of those solid gold trophies that goes to the Derby winner. But that's still at, I've just got to assume that's still at the top of your list of hopes and dreams of all you've accomplished in this sport. That's one more thing you'd like to have.
Absolutely. Matter of fact, my team is out at Fastig Tipton. They'll be out there tomorrow. We're going out in the morning to watch the two-year-olds work out. I got two-year-olds working out at Eric Reed's place out here getting ready to distribute the balance of them, the rest of them out to the trainers. But the team will be out at Fastig Tipton tomorrow looking for a Derby winner and a Queen's Plate winner. So they know what they're looking for, and we got a list they're checking out there tomorrow.
How much of a thrill was it to win that Queen's Plate with Sir Dudley Digs? What is it, 3 years ago now?
2 years ago.
2 years ago, yeah.
Well, we won with him there, and then he went down and won the Old Friend Stakes down at Kentucky Downs. So that entitled him to free retirement for the rest of his life out at Old Folks Home here in Kentucky. So, you know, Michael Blowing runs a place out there, so that was a nice thing in addition to the trophy. But we also took him down this year and really had a blast with him. People down there in Barbados loved him. That's the first time a Queen's Plate winner had ever been down there. I kind of got attached to going down to Barbados. I've been down there the last 5 years. We got 3 wins and 2 seconds, so we don't run any worse than second when we go down there. So they treat me well, and I enjoy going back. And it was a pleasure to bring a Queen's Plate winner down there and get all the allocades. I went off odds-on favorite, and just had a great time.
Well, Kenny, it's been a spectacular career so far. We know there's much more to come, but when you got horses under your belt like Kitten's Joy and Roses in May, and you've got horses like Backyard Heaven looking toward not only Breeders' Cup Day, but your birthday also. We've got lots to plan for. We appreciate you taking time to be with us here this evening, and always look forward to being with you. And, you know, the countdown's rolling by. It's going to be an exciting summer, so we'll wish you the best at Saratoga with Backyard Heaven and all the kittens everywhere this spring and summer and fall. And, again, thanks for being with us here on Inside Churchill Downs. Please give our best to your wife and family, and we'll be seeing you in Winner's Circle somewhere soon.
Let me give you one more thing on that Kentucky Derby.
All right.
My very first Kentucky Derby was 1953 when Dark Star upset Native Dancer.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to college, at Union College, and was in a business math class on Saturday morning. A boy named Bill Buchanan come in. He said, you want to go to the Derby? And I said, yeah. He said, you got enough money to fill my car up? And I said, no. I do. My daddy worked at TVA steam plant over in Tennessee, and he always come in on Friday night. My mother gave me the check to go down and put in the bank and keep her out $40 for the week down at the Union National Bank in Barberville. So I'd already been to the bank, and I had that $40 in my pocket. So I filled his car up, and we went, and that's my very first Derby, 1953 Dark Star, 65 years ago. And then I started consecutive in 1967 when Proud Clarion won. So I have won 50 out of the last 50, I mean not won. I've been there and seen 50 out of the last 51 derbies. The only one I missed was Pat Day when he won the little E.T., and I was in the hospital with a kidney stone.
Mm.
Just thought I'd throw that in. So this Derby is on my bucket list, and also I got to win one over in front of the Queen at Royal Ascot. So we're going for that.
All right, Ken. Hey, thanks so much for being with us. Good luck with Backyard Heaven and everybody else heading toward the Breeders' Cup, and we'll be talking with you soon.
Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it very much.
Owner breeder Kenny Ramsey. We should just turn the entire show over to Ken.
Yeah, I imagine. He's unbelievable.
Really appreciate him being with us here this evening, as he's a man who is never shy and never short on enthusiasm.
And turning 83 in November, and he still leads every one of his horses into the winner's circle if he's at the track. So you always see him on the shank leading the horses in. He's just one of those characters in this game that's just
special.
Special.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Got another guy who hasn't been around as long as Kenny Ramsey, but he's doing pretty well in the fairly early stages of his career, and he's our next guest today on Inside Churchill Downs. And this show's been around not too awfully long, and one of the early horses that we fell in love with when we started the show a few years back was a horse named Limousine Liberal. His trainer is Ben Colebrook, who's a young up-and-coming trainer, even younger then. And we asked him in his first appearance on this radio show to give us a little horse to think about, one that might want to bet on. And he gave us Limousine Liberal, who has been the gift that keeps on giving, as he has been to his trainer. Ladies and gentlemen, Ben Colebrook is with us via phone, getting ready for a busy weekend with Limousine Liberal, who just keeps on rolling and rolling. Ben, thanks for being with us, partner.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, well, you're a bit. Let's talk about the Liberal first of all. He's in the midst of another wonderful year, and got an opportunity for a big win outside the state of Kentucky. He's had some big wins in his career so far, but all have been in the state of Kentucky. Tomorrow, he is in New York. He's at Belmont Park in the Belmont Sprint Championship, a Breeders' Cup win, and you're in event. And you, as last I looked, I think were the 9-5 morning line favorite in there, drew the rail post. What do you think of our guy tomorrow?
He's doing great. I don't love the rail, but with a short field, it shouldn't be shouldn't be too big of an issue. There's plenty of speed in there, so I'm sure Jose can work it out.
Yeah, he was a horse that took a while to get that elusive really big win for you. He always ran well, Ran well early in his career and always showed up, but it was a little frustrating to get him into the winner's circle in a big race. But once he finally did, he's a regular attendee there, and but this one would be a nice one, a race at Belmont Park with him. And what are your thoughts about where he is now and what the prospects are for tomorrow?
You know, I think it's a good race for him, and the fact that he's cutting back in distance from the Met Mile. Which was kind of a little bit outside of his comfort zone. We tried something new, and it did. And I wouldn't say it was a bit of a success, as he got a placing in a huge Grade One race and big historical race, and he ran very well. So, now cutting back to 7, which is probably his best distance now that he's gotten older, and we're really looking forward to it. There's a lot of speed in the race, so it should set up kind of his. To his style, where he just kind of likes to stalk and kind of pounce at the top of the stretch. And I thought he handled Belmont great, in the Met Mile. I thought he handled the track fine. He just, got outrun by two very fast horses.
Yeah, finished third in there, but a big, big effort for him. And is he in your mind as good as he has ever been, or better than he's ever been at this point?
I would say he's probably better this year. I just, from what I'm seeing from him, he's a stronger horse. He's easier on himself in the mornings. Early on in his career, he had a tendency to be, want to be real strong in his gallops and breezes. So we had to give him a lot of jog days, kind of easy to make him have easy days. Or now he can, he doesn't go out there and bullet work every time we work him. I can work him and, a pedestrian move for him is like a minute. So, we can do that with him now as he's gotten older. And I think, because of that, I think he's, a better racehorse. And I think he's learned, obviously, like you were saying, he has learned how to win. He had such a rough race in his first start of his career that I think he never really liked being in tight with other horses. And, I think he always ran better when he was kind of outside of horses. In the Met Mile, he was in tight the whole way, kind of getting a couple little bumps from both Doro along the way. And he never stopped running. He kept running, and at the top of the stretch, he made his move, but he just wasn't good enough. But if you looked at the top of the stretch, Mind Your Biscuits was already ahead of him at that point, so he's kind of a closer. So he probably didn't get to make the move around the turn like he likes to do. So I don't think it was going to make a difference. We were still going to be third that day, but we might have been a little closer than the margin might have been a little closer. But no, I think he's definitely a better horse as a 6-year-old, and it's kind of a credit to the Balls of letting me, give him the winners off and just spacing his races and not overdoing it with him. I think that's probably key to why he's gotten better with age.
Ben, talk a little bit about your background. I know you have a very interesting background, sort of born into the business. For those of you who don't know the name Ben Colebrook, how did you sort of get involved in the horse racing industry and turn your hand over to being a trainer now?
My dad was kind of a farm manager and trained a few, horses when I was growing up. And, and I went to college at UK and worked for, worked the sales and broke yearlings for a good while for Bill Harrigan. And at the time, he had all the Phipps horses and Lane's End horses. So I was lucky in the fact that I was around a lot of really good horses and, very well-bred horses, and I got to kind of see what a good horse looked like. And then from there, I was on the racetrack for a while, and I worked for Fred Seitz when he trained. And then from there, I went to work for Christophe Clement, and that was kind of my real education in training horses. I mean, under a just a fabulous trainer like Christophe, I really learned a lot, and I got to travel and again, be around a lot of really good horses. I was there for, the whole part of, except his 2-year-old year, I was there for Giaponte's whole career. So that was really, kind of a fun horse to be around. He was kind of like Limousine Liberal, that he always, he was a long career and he always showed up. So that's kind of my background. And then in 2012, I went out on my own. The first year I kind of was still kind of under the Christophe, flag a little bit. I had 2-year-olds for him at Keeneland, and then I didn't have much of my own to run. And then 2013, I kind of put together a little bit of a stable and got going a little bit and ran it and won a few races. And then in 2014 kind of really was my, you know, first year. I got a filly named Sparkling Review, who was, you know, won two graded stakes for me, and that kind of got me, you know, got me enough where people kind of knew who I was and knew that I was a trainer and not just a, you know, kind of not just pre-training babies for Christoph. So that was kind of how I got going.
That's a good group of folks you've lined out there. You know, one name I wasn't familiar with. I didn't realize you'd worked with Fred Seitz, who's a wonderful guy in this business and has had his fingerprints on a lot of parts of this business. But a guy I always respected a great deal, and he had to be a great person to work with, I would think.
Oh, he was the best. You know, he was, you know, he's a military man, you know, former Marine. So, you know, he was very, you know, organized and regimented. And you know, I learned a lot from him, and, you know, kind of, also, just he conducted himself in such a good way. You know, just everybody likes him, and he's, you know, he's just a wonderful, wonderful human being in addition to being a good horseman.
Had a terrific stretch of the Ball family. The Ball's been involved in this business for so many years, and Catherine, of course, is trained for a good while before she slid over to the owner's slot and on the program, and you showed up. But how about the Balls and how they've helped you along?
Oh, they've been great. They've been, you know, I've known them. My dad actually worked for the Balls. So I kind of grew up kind of as a kid riding the pony around Donemeyer. And, you know, Mike was training then. Both Mike and KK trained. And, you know, even Mr. Ball had a trainer's license for a while. So, you know, I kind of basically grew up around KK. And, you know, I've known her since, you know, before I can really remember. And they've been, you know, on out on my own. You know, she was one of the first people I called, and she said, come out to the farm. I got a couple for you. So, you know, it just kind of took off from there. And she was at a point where I think she probably wanted to, you know, enjoy life a little bit more, you know, training such a 7-day-a-week thing. I think she probably, you know, wanted to still be a part of it. She's out there, almost, you know, most every morning when she's in town watching them train. But, you know, at the same time, you know, she probably doesn't have, you know, as much stress, and she's able to enjoy it more. So, No, they've been great. You know, both Donemeyer and Mike and KK have been, they've just been fabulous for me. They've really helped me, and, you know, just, you know, Limo's been great for all of us, and it's been really fun to have a horse like Limo with people that, you know, that you've had such a history with.
You mentioned earlier you decided to give Limousine Liberal some added time over the winter, and it really does seem to have paid off. I remember I think we were talking on his program last fall, and I was a little surprised you were giving him that time off that early. But man, he just came back running. He's not turned in any poor efforts, and as you said, as a 6-year old, looks better than ever. So that time has been obviously been a good thing.
Yeah, I think horses. You know, I think maybe we've gotten out of that a little bit. You know, in the modern day, you know, keeping them kind of going year round. And you know, obviously, you know, the economics of horse racing, you know, the good ones, you know, the good colts get rushed away to be stallions, and maybe the, you know, the valuable fillies get bred to be broodmares. So when you get a gelding, I mean, the only way you're going to make any money with him is to race. So, you know, our thinking is, you know, we race him in the bigger races throughout the year, then we give him a break and, you know, just recharge the batteries, kind of like they, you know, they used to do back in the old days, I guess. You know, he just gets to be a horse for, you know, a month or so every year. And then we bring him back and just, you know, have some easy training with him over the winter and try to have him really firing for a, you know, spring, summer, and fall. You know, there's probably not a lot of, I mean, there's good races in the winter, obviously, but not kind of where I go. I go to Tampa and, you know, I keep a string in Kentucky for the winter. So it just kind of fits our program, and you know, I think he doesn't really like his time off, but I think obviously it helps him. You know, he kind of loves to train, and he loves the, you know, the activity in the barn, and just, you know, just being in training. I think he really likes that. When he gets, you know, when he's away from it, he kind of misses it, I think. But I think it's good for his body and good for his mind as well.
Not that you necessarily need one with him still in the barn, but it's always nice to have another couple of good ones underneath. You got any hopes for younger horses you have training that might develop into maybe not Limousine Liberal, but a Limousine type that's going to run in some big races?
You know, I think my 2-year-olds are pretty pretty good this year. I've broke some maidens already. I got a filly that was third in the debutante. Already I got a filly named Blame the Frog that's going to run in the Schuylerville opening day of Saratoga. I think she's got a bright future. I mean, a Blame filly that's already she's run three times already, a second at Keeneland, a second at Churchill, and broke her maiden pretty impressive at Churchill. So she's got a bright future, I think. And then there's a horse that just broke his maiden at Ellis Park named Nix Go that will we're looking at the Samford at Saratoga or if that comes up a little quick, we might, look at some other races, but he showed like he acts like he might have, some serious potential. And then there's a horse for Claiborne named Wrath that was second in a maiden at Belmont Park in May. And afterwards we just, he was a late foal and he'd kind of been doing everything so easy that we just decided, hey, let's just run him, get a race under his belt, and then let's give him a break and let him grow up. So we sent him back to Claiborne and he's back with me now. And he acts like he's a very nice horse, one of those just real nice moving horses, just gets over the ground very easy. And he's another exciting one. So, then there's a few 2-year-olds that I haven't run yet that I think are are good horses. So, it's been, the 2-year-olds are exciting right now. That's the future, and you got to kind of, Limo's great. And hopefully he's around 2 or 3 more years, but you're going to have to come, we're going to have to come develop more horses, to keep the ball rolling.
Okay. Before we let you go, our friend, Darren Rogers is not with us today. He actually took a couple days off after the meet's over with, but he's with us here in spirit, and if Darren were here, he would ask you, as he has every time that you've been on the show with us, is there any horse we could kind of look at that might be one we might want to drop a nickel or two on?
Put my record on the line here. I've given you one every time.
You're in the Hall of Fame already.
Yeah, Hall of Famer.
Yeah, so anything you give us is great.
You've gotten me before Nick's go, really. But I guess, probably the next one would be a filly named Heels. That had been working with Nick's Go that I'm going to run at Ellis Park probably on the 22nd.
Okay.
That would probably be the next one that I think really is, she might be able to pop first time out. The colt won first time out. And she's been working right with him. So, these Ellis 2-year-old races are no gimmies, but I think she's going to go fire a nice race. So she'd be one to watch.
Okay, give me the name of that one again.
Sorry, Heels, like high heel.
Heels. Great.
Yep.
It's written down. We've written it on our hands everywhere we can write it, so we won't forget it on the 22nd. So.
Yep.
All right, partner. Thanks so much for being
all
with
right.
us. We appreciate
no
you
problem.
Taking time. Good luck with Limousine Liberal tomorrow. Be nice to win one out of the state of Kentucky with him.
We got to prove that everybody thinks he can't win a race outside of the state of Kentucky, but, he's always showed up every time. He just probably hadn't, gotten the luck or the class relief that he needs, obviously, when you go to New York. Just like Woody Stevens said, the buildings get pretty tall when you cross the Hudson
exactly.
River.
Exactly. Hey, don't wear short pants over there, as Woody would also say.
Right. No, we won't be wearing any short pants.
Well, then you'll have a decision to make on vacation time. If he wins tomorrow, you got a Breeders' Cup win in your in slot for the sprint there. So you'll have to think about early November at Churchill Downs, where he has run well.
We definitely have got that on our radar. We knew there was a race at Churchill coming up in November, so we definitely got that circled on our calendar.
That's probably did, but it's a public service for us to remind you that. So, all right, Ben.
No problem. No. All right, thank you.
Thank you, partner. Ben Colebrook.
Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for being with us again on Inside Churchill Downs. Ben, the trainer of Limousine Liberal, who runs tomorrow at Belmont Park in a Breeders' Cup win in your event, the Belmont Sprint Championship. We wind down the home stretch here on Inside Churchill Downs. We're about to have a first-time guest on our show.
I think she was on once when I was doing it solo summer a couple of years ago, with us.
Oh, first time for me.
First time for you, absolutely. And, the big day at Belmont Park tomorrow, but also a big day at Arlington Park tomorrow, where this trainer sends out a horse who is in the KK Play of the Day Hall of Fame. He was a 2-for-2 this year here at the spring meet at Churchill Downs. Joined by trainer Michelle Lovell, who sends out Doobie Doobie in the American Derby tomorrow. Michelle, you're with John Asher and Kevin Kirstein here on Inside Churchill Downs. How are you?
I'm good. Hi, guys. How are you all?
We're doing great, Michelle. Now, I saw a stat yesterday that you had 7 winners at the spring meet at odds of 13-1, 10-1, 6-1, 5-1, 5-1, and 2 2-1 shots. You were 7-for-16 at the spring meet. Were you sort of aiming for this spring meet, or just sort of the horses been really running out of their skins recently?
Well, yeah, I think that we always aim for it. we just were really lucky that it all came around. Horses came around at the right time, perfect races, and yeah, they all fired. And we had two back-to-back winners here as well. So it's been a great meet. Just something that we won't forget. So it's been fun.
Now, two of those winners were Doobie Doobie or WW or Doobie W, however, whoever he wants to, however you want to pronounce it. But Doobie Doobie goes in the American Derby tomorrow at Arlington Park in Chicago. And this horse was sort of, we're fighting the second-itis the last couple of starts and broke through the last two times at Churchill. Do you think the stretch out in distance tomorrow can only help this horse after exiting that mile allowance race just 2 weeks back when he won by a diminishing three-quarters of a length?
Yeah, we like him going longer. We tried to stay away from mile races, but we really wanted to try him out. We think he's handy enough. He's learned a lot through all the seconds that he had over the winter. He kind of grew up and learned how to dig and fight for it some. So I thought he ran a really nice race shortening up, and I think distance is and to his benefit for it, really. So I'm looking forward to it.
Now, is this sort of the horse where are you worrying about the short turnaround just from running just a couple weeks ago? Do you think this is the horse who can physically handle shipping up to Chicago some 4.5 hours away? Is he this type of horse that shouldn't have a problem doing that?
Yeah, sure wouldn't do it with a lot of them, but he is just a really healthy, big, strong gelding. He acts like a colt. He's just really full of himself and has a lot of energy. And I thought that, you know, we were going to enter, and we planned on it. And if, you know, he was wonderful going into it, we would go ahead and ship, and we did. He went up yesterday, and my assistant Emmett Jolly, which owns part of him, went with him, rode the van, and which was a bumpy ride, he said. And he sent me a picture this morning of him just crashed out like he always is in his stall. I mean, he's a big time sleeper. He rests a lot. So, yeah, the quick turnaround is, you know, not ideal. But for this particular horse, I don't think it will hurt him. And you know, kind of measuring our competition, the favorite in the race, which is a really nice horse. He's doing the same thing. He's got probably a day more rest than us because he went up into Canterbury and ran in the Mystic Lake Derby, I think the day before we ran won our allowance race home. So anyway, for this horse, yeah, I think he'll be fine.
And Michelle, you've eyeing win number 500 in your training career, 470, and you also were an accomplished jockey back in the late 1990s. What do you think has been more difficult for you in your career, training horses or actually riding them in the afternoons?
Riding races was a lot of fun, and obviously difficult, especially then because you couldn't self-promote. Women jockeys weren't as popular. But it was a really fun job. And training horses, I didn't mean to do that. I just kind of, it happened, and I love them. I love my horses so much. I love training them. I like getting up and going to the barn, and it's always something new with all of them. They're all individuals, and they always, you know, not always have great days, and some of them have fantastic days when you weren't expecting it, and they kind of light comes on. So training is harder to do for all of the responsibilities going into it. When you're a jockey, you just take your tack and you go, and it's a dangerous job, but it's a fun job. Training horses, the danger is collecting your money, making sure you can make payroll and pay all your bills, and keeping that going, and trying to always build your stable up to get better horses so you can get better horses. The more you win, the more people want to send you something. So I think training is definitely difficult, but it's well worth it when you get that win picture and you feel like you've accomplished something, especially with young horses. And our claimers, you know, when we claim something and they move up to higher level of racing, which we've done a few times, that's a lot of fun. Makes you feel good when you go home, finish the day.
Michelle, at what point did this horse, the Doobie Doobie, start telling you that he might be a horse that you will be thinking about races like the American Derby and hopefully beyond with him? At what point did he really seem to be putting it all together?
You know, a couple of races at the fairgrounds, he just looked like he might just be a grinder type, you know, and we thought he had, you know, he'd go through his allowance level races, and he was learning. And I guess when we got to Churchill, he really enjoyed it here even more, and he had those races behind him over the winter, learning how to fight. And when we got here and he won his race here, he got an excellent ride by Jack Gilligan. And I think the light came on there where he kind of turned into a man. And then this last race, I thought that, we could be looking forward to some nice races in the future with him.
And how about you when you've got a horse like this and when you get the better horses? I mean, what's your goal and dream on down the road as your part of your career as a trainer after being a jockey and now a trainer as your life in racing evolves? Kind of what's the hope and dream for you?
Oh gosh, the hope and dream every single day is to acquire better horses, and I've had my share of, some nice, good quality horses, and we usually gather them through the claiming ranks. So it makes it a little bit more difficult to get to the higher level racing. And that's kind of what you hope for every day. That I love training all of them. You know, they all, if they can win at whatever level they can win at, it's still all kinds of fun. But, it's training better quality horses, smarter animals, ones that stay healthy longer, and you just, you can look forward to the next race and feel like you're walking a winner up there. That's what I look forward to, is just trying to gain some better quality horses and get to bigger races in the future.
Yeah, got a signature thrill so far in your training career. Is there one you could point to at this point, or has been the big marquee moment so far?
Well, I think last summer at Arlington Park, actually, I had a filly, and we claimed her, and she put it all together, and she won my first graded stakes at Arlington. She won the Pucker Up, and that was probably the most exciting day, because I truly love that filly. I loved her heart. I loved her will, that she really fought in her races and always showed up, and that was probably my best day ever. It was a lot of fun.
Let's hope you get one to rival it tomorrow in the American Derby with Doobie Doobie. and we just wish you the best. And thanks for taking some time to be with us here this evening. It's been a joy watching your horses run this spring and again, watching you as you've continued to grow in the career. And we're thrilled for you. And again, just so much appreciate you taking the time to be with us on Inside Churchill Downs.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on.
All right, Michelle, happy trip to Chicago and good luck, okay?
Great, yes. Thank you so much, guys.
Thanks, Michelle.
Yeah. Michelle Lovell, trainer of Doobie Doobie.
What a name.
I've not seen all of Doobie Doobie's races. Has anyone done the Sinatra impression yet as he comes down the stretch?
They have not. Maybe John G. needs to do that tomorrow.
I fear he might.
Yes.
We'll see what happens. But let's hope he's got a reason to with this horse. It was great to have Michelle with us. It's been a good show. Ken Ramsey, got to start it. Leading owner of Churchill Downs, leading owner in the history of Churchill Downs, and a guy who firmly believes he's got a Kentucky Derby in his future on down the road. It's great to be with Kenny, and of course with Ben Colebrook, who by Ken Ramsey's standards, just a whippersnapper at this point. Mm-hmm. Still a youngster, but coming along with a very good horse. And wish the best tomorrow for Limousine Liberal, and great to hear from Michelle Lovell.
She was one of those underrated trainers at the meet. I know, you know, with Steve and Brad having great meets, Mike Tomlinson had a great meet, but Michelle, 7-16, one runner-up finish. I mean, she was just on fire for the meet.
And those are good numbers. The odds that you laid out there on the, I mean, if you're you're a person who likes to make a wager or two in this business, you need to follow Michelle Lovell around a little bit.
Yeah, and keep an eye on some of her runners back this summer at Ellis Park. I know they're ready to roll down there, too.
All right, that wraps up another Inside Churchill Downs presented by TwinSpires.com. Thanks to Magic Mike for being producer. Excellent job, as always, and appreciate all of our guests. We'll be here again next week, and Darren Rogers will be back with us next week. Hope he had a nice evening off, had a good couple of days after the end of the spring meet. But always a joy to have you guys with us. And we'll be here throughout the summer. The spring meet is finished. We'll be here throughout the summer. So for Kevin Kirstein.
Casting open tomorrow, too. 12 o'clock, gates open. So get on over there early.
Thank you for that helpful reminder. That's Kevin Kirstein. I'm John Asher. You're listening to ESPN 680 and Inside Churchill Downs.